From Bhagavad Gita, we learn that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the cause of all causes. He is the source of everything. As he states, Aham sarvasya prabhavaha, I am the source of everything. Matah parataram nanyat kinchidasti. Lord Krishna says, there's nothing greater than me, nothing equal to me. No one greater than me, no one equal to me. So, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purusham paramam divyam, it's stated in Bhagavad Gita. And we are all very, very small, tiny little beings. So, bhakti means to recognize his supremacy and to love him. How can love be possible between someone so great as he and someone so small as we? Love can be between persons of more or less equal status. Even today in India, it's considered improper if marriage takes place between someone of high caste and someone of low caste. A rich man looks for another rich man's son to marry his daughter. A highly educated person isn't expected to marry an uneducated person. So how is it that Krishna, who is so great, so powerful, is so much greater than us, how is it that we can love him? Well, that is another aspect of Krishna's greatness. That even though he's so powerful, but his love is also all-embracing. And Krishna, he actually enjoys receiving gifts from his devotees. As he states in Bhagavad Gita, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhakta prayachati tadaham bhakti paharitam ashnami prayatatmanah. Please give the translation. Now, Krishna is the source of huge oceans of water. He is the creator of millions of planets with vast forests with millions of billions of leaves. So how can we offer him even a leaf or water when everything belongs to him? And what will he gain if we give him a leaf or water when he himself is the source of unlimited leaves and water? The answer is, of course, that he has nothing to gain from us. But nevertheless, he appreciates the bhakti, the devotion with which the offering is made. And he sometimes acts as if incapable. Often seen the picture of beautiful Bal Gopal, child Krishna, who is sitting on the lap of his mother Yashoda, who feeds him, thinking that if I do not feed Krishna, then how will he be nourished? Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko yo bahadavidatati kaman. There are unlimited numbers of living beings, but there is one Supreme who feeds all, who fulfills the needs of all. So that one Supreme Lord who maintains and nourishes everyone puts himself in the position of being subordinate to Mother Yashoda. And she feels that it is my duty to maintain and nourish him. And even more amazingly, Krishna thinks that I am being maintained and nourished by my mother. Pitaham asya jagata mata tata pitamaha. Krishna himself claims himself as the father, mother, grandfather and supporter of the entire universe. And even more amazingly, Krishna thinks that I am being maintained and nourished by my mother. Pitaham asya jagata mata tata pitamaha. Krishna himself claims himself as the father, mother, grandfather and supporter of the entire universe. No one can be the father or mother of he, because he himself is the source of everything. But there is a special shakti of the Supreme Lord, the Yogamaya Shakti, by which he himself thinks that Mother Yashoda is my mother, Nanda Baba is my father, Srimati Radhika is my lover, and the devotees, they also think of themselves as such in relation to him. So this is the higher level of reciprocation with Krishna. We should fear God. If we don't act according to His directions, then we have to suffer. If we act sinfully, then we have to suffer. So the beginning of theism is to follow the laws of God out of fear of punishment. But that is not actual love for God. Love means that one is in a relationship of full trust. And in real love, one wants to please the other. One is more concerned with pleasing the other party than in pleasing oneself. What goes on in material relationships, in the name of friendship, everyone wants to get something from someone else. The closest to spiritual love in the material world is the love of the mother for her child. The child passes stool on the mother and keeps her awake all night by crying. But with unlimited patience and affection, the mother simply goes on serving the child. Of course, there may be some expectation in that also, that when I grow old, my child will look after me. But in pure spiritual love, one doesn't think of one's own personal benefit in any way. This is only possible when we realize that we are not these bodies, we are pure spirit soul, we are part and parcel of Krishna. And then when one's love is more developed, one takes the position, one is awarded the position, maybe of the mother or father or lover of the Supreme Lord. We are all servants of God, but as long as we take the subordinate position, we cannot serve Him to the fullest extent. It is the duty of the children to serve the parents, but actually the parents serve the children in a manner that the children can never reciprocate. So when a devotee's mood of love for the Supreme Lord is so intense that he wants to serve Him more and more and more and more, then he may be given the position of a mother or a father or a lover. So when a devotee's mood of love for the Supreme Lord is so intense that he wants to serve Him more and more and more and more, then he may be given the position of a mother or a father or a lover. So the Supreme Lord by definition is superior to all others. But to accept the intense loving sentiments of His pure devotees, He takes the position of a subordinate to His devotees. And in that relationship, the devotees, they don't think, I'm a devotee of Krishna. They just think that, well, just like Mother Yashoda thinks, well, Krishna is my son. She never thinks that he's God, but her love for him is completely pure and more intense than that of millions of mothers. The loving affairs between Radha and Krishna are often misunderstood. But we should know that that love is purely spiritual. If it had not been so, then generations of very pure sannyasis would never have praised Krishna. Often people ask, well, how come Krishna married so many queens? Krishna married 16,108 queens. But he's God, he's unlimited, he can marry 16 crore queens, even that's not many for him. He reciprocates with every living being. So for him to reciprocate with only 16,000 queens is not very difficult for him. But it should be understood that this love is purely spiritual. Neither Krishna nor his queens have material bodies nor material motivations. There is no trace of mundane lust or impropriety in their dealings. But the gopis and of Vrindavan and the queens of Dwaraka, they are great devotees who are Krishna's lovers and queens because they can serve him best in that position. Their desire to serve him and please him is unbounded, unimaginable to us. It's very difficult for us to even imagine this, and therefore we might blame Krishna, because really we have very little idea of what pure spiritual love means. Because we don't have insights into this or experience of this. Therefore, we must be governed by the morals of this material world. But we should not think that Krishna is restricted to the morals that govern ordinary people. Our love for Krishna, we can begin to understand by following the process of bhakti sadhana, by chanting the names of Krishna, especially that is recommended in this Kali Yuga. This has a profound effect on the consciousness, that our consciousness, in which we're mostly thinking about I, me, and mine, we start to think Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. If we examine, we'll find that everything we do is for what we consider to be our personal benefit. But when we realize that my real benefit is to stop thinking about what's good for my body and my mind, or my family, or my country, or all these illusory temporary things, and that our eternal relationship is with Krishna, then we will understand Krishnarte Akela Cheshta. Everything we do should be for the satisfaction of Krishna. Everything we say, everything we think, everything should be for the satisfaction of Krishna. Krishna is not a historical, passed away personality. He is not a theory. Krishna describes himself in the Bhagavad Gita. He is Paramatma within everyone's heart. He is the supreme proprietor. He is the supreme enjoyer, and he is the supreme friend. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam. One who knows these three things, what happens? You tell? One who knows these three things?
He will attain peace.
Yeah. Gyatva mang shantin richati. So you should know this. You should know all these teachings of Bhagavad Gita. We are distributing Bhagavad Gita as it is, unmai uravil, so that people can learn about Krishna. This development or revival of love for Krishna is the only real purpose of human life. Whatever else we do in life, if we do not develop our love for Krishna, then it is a great disaster. From time to time we read in the newspaper about disasters, train crash disaster, earthquake disaster, tsunami disaster. How many people, they say, died in India in that tsunami? About, 1,000 people, 2,000, who knows?
No, maybe 15,000.
15,000, huh? Okay. So it's a great disaster, so many people died all at once, although they were going to die anyway, sooner or later. But an even greater disaster is that they died without developing their loving relationship with Krishna. So Bhagavad Gita gives us the knowledge by which we can revive our love for Krishna. Generally, those who are called Hindus, they have at least some kind of appreciation for Bhagavad Gita. But simply to think, yes, Bhagavad Gita, that's something good, that's not enough. We should study Bhagavad Gita and apply its directions in our lives. From Bhagavad Gita, it is very clear that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that we are to serve Him. We should do that under the guidance of experienced devotees, and in this way we can make our lives perfect in all respects. And I presume that's what's being said in this television program in various ways, week after week after week. We may discuss various issues, but all in the light of Bhagavad Gita. For instance, we may discuss that abortion is sinful, animal slaughter is sinful. But the conclusion is always the same, that sinful activities should be given up so that our consciousness can be purified, so that we can develop love of Krishna. So when our consciousness becomes purified, then we can appreciate Krishna. When we begin to appreciate Krishna, then we can also appreciate what a terrible waste of time it is to cultivate anything else but Krishna consciousness. So let us all take to Krishna consciousness. Of course, another thing that must be featured regularly on this TV show is asking everyone to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Very good advice. Please chant these holy names. So we'll ask you again and again, please chant the holy names and revive your loving relationship with Krishna as described in Bhagavad Gita. And if there are any questions about this, the phone-in can be done now. And while we're waiting for phone calls, we'll also go on chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama
Rama,
Hare
Hare. Krishna?
Sound is not there. Turn the sound up.
How many parts are there in Bhagavad Gita?
How many parts?
He's asking that. How many divisions?
Well, there are, as is well known, there are 18 chapters.
Bhagavad Gita la mottam 18 adhyayangal irukku.
The it's actually not a very in big book.
அது ஒண்ணு உண்மையில சொல்ல போனீங்கன்னா பகவத் கீதை அப்படிங்கிறது ஒரு பெரிய புத்தகம் அப்படின்னு சொல்ல முடியாது.
Approximately 700, well, 700 verses. Verses, slokas.
அதுல மொத்தம் 700 ஸ்லோகங்கள் இருக்கு பகவத் கீதையில.
Now the acharyas have analyzed that there are three divisions.
ஆச்சாரியர்கள் அதுல மூன்று விதமான பாகங்கள் இருக்குன்னு அலசி ஆராய்ஞ்சிருக்காங்க.
That the first six chapters describe karma yoga, the second six chapters bhakti yoga, and the third six chapters jnana yoga.
முதல் ஆறு அத்தியாயங்கள் கர்ம யோகத்தையும், இரண்டாவது ஆறு அத்தியாயங்கள் பக்தி யோகத்தையும், மூன்றாவது ஆறு அத்தியாயங்கள் ஞான யோகத்தையும் சொல்லி தருதுன்னு சொல்லி ஆச்சாரியர்கள் சொல்லியிருக்காங்க.
Those are the principal subjects in those chapters.
இதுதான் அந்த அத்தியாயங்கள் இருக்கக்கூடிய முக்கியமான விஷயங்கள்.
Those who are free on Sundays can come every Sunday evening. We have discourses on Bhagavad Gita.
யாரெல்ல நைட் கிளம்பையில வேற வேலை இல்லாம இருக்கீங்களோ, அதாவது பக்தியில முன்னேற்றம் அடையணும் நினைக்கிறீங்களோ, அவங்க எல்லாரும் தயவு செய்து நம்மளுடைய கோயிலுக்கு வரலாம். இங்க வார வாரம் ஞாயிற்றுக்கிழமை பகவத்கீதையில சொற்பொழிவுகள் நடைபெறுது.
At our ISKCON center.
நம்மளுடைய ISKCON கோயில்ல.
In Rajaram Nagar.
ராஜாராம் நகர்ல இருக்கு இந்த கோயில்.
You can give the phone number.
நம்மளுடைய தொலைக்காட்சி எண்ணையும் நீங்க குறிச்சு வச்சுக்கலாம். 241-8245.
And from time to time we hold seminars also for several days in a row on the teachings of Bhagavad Gita.
Bhagavad Gita-னுடைய உபதேசங்கள் அடிப்படையில் அப்பப்ப நம்ம ஒரு சில செமினார்களும் நடத்துறோம். அதுலேயும் பக்தர்கள் கலந்துக்கலாம்.
ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா, ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா, கிருஷ்ணா கிருஷ்ணா, ஹரி ஹரி, ஹரி ராம், ஹரி ராம், ராம் ராம், ஹரி ஹரி.
ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா.
ஹலோ.
ஆ, சொல்லுங்க.
Why evil thoughts are always coming and evil feelings are seen by ourselves?
அவர் என்ன கேட்கிறார் அப்படின்னா, ஏன் கெட்ட விஷயங்கள்லாம் நடக்குது, கெட்ட எண்ணங்கள்லாம் நமக்குள்ளார வருதுங்கிறார்.
Well, Arjuna asked a similar thing in Bhagavad Gita. He asked Krishna.
அர்ஜுனன் பகவத்கீதையில கிருஷ்ணர்கிட்ட ஏறக்குறைய இதே விஷயத்தை கேட்டான்.
அசக்கேன பிரயுக்தயம் பாபம் சரதி புருஷ அனிச்சன் அபிவாஷ்ணய பலம் இவ நியோஜித. You can give the translation.
நம்ம வந்து ஏன் பலவந்தப்படுத்தப்பட்டது போல ஒரு சில நேரங்கள்ல பாவ காரியங்கள்ல ஈடுபடுறோம்னு கேக்குறான்.
He was asking, anichan, even without our desire, it seems as if by force we commit sinful activities.
Arjuna enna solrana, anichan, adhaadu nammaloeya viruppam konjam kuda illama edho balavandapaduthapatta pola nama paava kaariyangala eedupadrame adhu ennu ketta.
Arjuna also commented about the nature of the mind.
அர்ஜுனன் மனதினுடைய இயற்கையை பத்தியும் ஒரு கருத்தை சொல்லியிருக்கான்.
சஞ்சலாங்கி மன கிருஷ்ண பிரமாதி பலவத்ருதம் தஸ்யாஹம் நிக்ரஹம் மன்யே வாயோரிவ சுதுஷ்கரம்.
அர்ஜுனன் என்ன சொல்றான் அப்படின்னா, இந்த மனதை கட்டுப்படுத்துறது அப்படிங்கிறது மிகவும் கடினமா இருக்கு. ஒரு வாயுவை கூட கட்டுப்படுத்தி விடலாம், ஆனா மனதை கட்டுப்படுத்துறது அதை விட கடினமானதா தோன்றதுன்னா.
So in answer to Krishna's query, to Arjuna's query, Lord Krishna said,
அர்ஜுனனுடைய இந்த கேள்விக்காக பகவான் கிருஷ்ணர் பதில் சொல்றார்.
Okay, you say the verse. Kama esha.
Kama esha krodha esha rajoguna samudva mahashana mahapapa vidina mihavairina.
You get the translation.
அதாவது காமமும் குரோதமும் அதுதான் எல்லாத்துக்கும் காரணமா அமைது, இதுதான் எல்லா பாவ விளைவுகளுக்கு காரணமா அமைதுன்னு சொல்றார் கிருஷ்ணர்.
So it is the influence of rajoguna.
இது ரஜோகுணத்தினுடைய தாக்கத்தினால செயல்படுத்தப்படுது.
Because we have accepted a position in this material world that I should enjoy this material world, therefore bad thoughts come even without our desire.
நம்ம இந்த உலகத்தை அனுபவிக்கணும் அப்படிங்கறத மூலமா வச்சு நம்ம இங்க இருக்கக்கூடிய காரணத்தினால நம்ம அதை விரும்பாட்டி கூட கெட்ட எண்ணங்கள் நமக்கு வருது.
We have to purify our consciousness. We have to take up a program for doing so.
நம்ம நம்மளுடைய உணர்வை தூய்மைப்படுத்தணும். அப்படி தூய்மைப்படுத்துறதுக்கான பயிற்சி முறையை நம்ம எடுத்துக்கணும்.
Traditionally in Hindu society, everyone would follow a program, early morning, rise early and engage in sadhana.
Parambara paarthinga appadina palangalathula indiavula hindukal ellarume adhigalaiyila elundhu kaalaiyila sadhana payirchi pannuvaanga.
That would steady and purify the mind.
அது அவங்களுடைய மனதை நிலைப்படுத்தி தூய்மைப்படுத்தக்கூடியதா அமையும்.
But in the modern age, very few people do this.
ஆனா நவீன காலத்துல ஒரு சில மக்கள் தான் இதை பண்றாங்க.
And they're subjected to so many provocatory matter through the TV, through the magazines.
அது மட்டும் இல்லாம பாவ காரியங்களை தூண்டக்கூடிய விதத்துல அவங்க தொலைக்காட்சி, செய்தித்தாள் போன்றவற்றால பாதிக்கப்படுறாங்க.
So naturally the mind becomes agitated.
அதன் மூலமா இயற்கையாவே மனமானது சஞ்சலம் அடையுது.
If we chant the holy names of Krishna, that will be powerful to purify the mind.
நம்ம கிருஷ்ணருடைய திருநாமத்தை ஜெபம் பண்ணோம் அப்படினா அப்ப அது நம்மளுடைய மனதை தூய்மைப்படுத்துறதுக்கு மிகவும் உதவியா அமையும்.
சீதோ தர்பண மார்ஜனம்,
நம்மளுடைய இதயத்தை தூய்மைப்படுத்துறோம். இதயம் அப்படிங்கிற கண்ணாடிய பகவானுடைய திருநாமத்தை வச்சு தூய்மைப்படுத்துறோம்.
We also have to hear regularly to purify our desires.
அது மட்டும் இல்லாம நம்மளுடைய விருப்பங்களை தூய்மைப்படுத்துறதுக்காக நம்ம விஷயங்களை தொடர்ந்து காதால கேட்கணும்.
Hearing means hearing shastra from sadhus.
கேட்கறது அப்படினா சாதுக்கள்ல இருந்து சாஸ்திரங்களை கேட்கறதுன்னு அர்த்தம்.
Sato du sangam utsrija satsu sajjeta buddhiman. We should give up bad association, and those who are intelligent